Shalom Chaverim. My friends, I have bestowed upon this particular message the title, The Magnitude of Accent. You will agree that if anybody should be sensitive upon the subject of accent, it is myself. You see, I find I have one. Have you ever noticed it? You know, I just didn't realize I had an accent at all until I visited Uncle Sam's fair land and began to meet so very many dear American friends. Then, in increasing numbers, they all told me I had an accent. Now, the funny part about it is that I thought they had the accent. But how could I hold such an opinion for long in face of such increasing and widespread American assurance that I had the accent? I just had to bend before such a cumulative weight of evidence, didn't I? Now, I am at last convinced that I really do have an accent. But what am I to do about it? I've tried gargling with salty water and the like, but the accent remains. Oh, I know that some of you might seek to console me by suggesting that, after all, accent is not important. But that won't do. Accent is exceedingly important. Anyway, have I not entitled this particular message, The Magnitude of Accent? Rousseau declares, and here I quote him, "Accent is the soul of a language. It gives the feeling and truth to it." Whilst it was John Selden, you will remember, who said that syllables govern the world. In this connection, I feel sure you all recall the biblical account of how human life was forfeit to a mere syllable. In those ancient days, the Gileadites had seized the crossings of the River Jordan, and whenever they captured one suspected of being an Ephraimite, they demanded of their prisoner, "Say now, Shibboleth." But the Ephraimites had an Ephraimistic accent, and they could not pronounce the word correctly, but, instead of Shibboleth, could only say Sibboleth. Result? Death. Read the history yourself in the 12th chapter of Shofetim, that is, the book of Judges. Believe me, any Ephraimite would have told you that accent is important. Yes, my friends, not only incidence of stress and cadence, but also intonation and clarity of enunciation are important. On one occasion, at a children's treat, having previously stored beneath their little belts an enormous amount of goodly food, the youngsters were asked to learn and to sing a little after-dinner hymn. The words of the hymn were, listen carefully, "Weak and sinful though we be." Unfortunately, the teacher was careless in his enunciation and in his accent, and the words which reached the laughing parents from the youngsters' merry throats and full, hearts, were certainly appropriate to the occasion. Instead of singing, "Weak and sinful though we be," they chimed lustily together, "We can sing, full though we be." Oh yes, my friends, accent is important. If we wish to capture and possess the true, undiluted, and undistorted content of an utterance, we must observe carefully the tonal accents, the pausal periods, and the cadences embodied in and forming part of the message. Tones tell, cadences convey, accents avow. Music has been well described as the language of the soul, and those of us who love music know full well the vital import of tone, cadence, and accent. If the meaning and message of the composer is to be reproduced at all faithfully to our ears, neither the theory nor the mechanics of music alone are adequate to the task. Indeed, the virtuoso is such, not because of mastery of the mechanics of music, but rather because those mechanics are disciplined to to express the message of the melody, and this expression can only be manifest through the appropriate tone qualities, cadences, and accentuations. Yes, there is a magnitude in accent. Because the human voice was almost the sole instrument for the public worship of praise in the temple at Jerusalem, the temple choristers being restricted to the Levites, it can be well understood that there developed in Hebrew thought and expression a great appreciation of the importance of accent. Particularly is this so with regard to the Holy Scriptures, which themselves, in their original language, possess a most elaborate system of musical notation. During the 6th and 7th centuries of the Common Era, this mode of cantillation or musical declamation was embodied in the Hebrew text of the Bible by specific symbols, each having a specific name and demanding a specific vocal response. During this same period, distinguishing nekudot, or vowel signs, were introduced, and by this twin means, the Holy Scriptures became equipped with a fixed traditional pronunciation and a fixed traditional modulation. The well-known Yiddish phrase, mit dem Tropleinen, when applied to the Scriptures, means that the Bible must be read according to the accents, the interpunctional character of which contributes much to the correct interpretation of the text itself. Although this is just what we might expect, it is nevertheless quite interesting, isn't it? Clearly, then, accents convey meanings. Indeed, the very Hebrew name Ta'amim, given to these ancient symbols, denotes this feature, because Ta'amim could be translated quite correctly by the very English word meanings. Find the accent, and you discover the meaning. This is quite an alluring and a fruitful study, I can assure you. Will you permit one simple, yet famous, illustration? In the Hebrew Bible, at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, we read in the Hebrew text, Kol korei, bamidbar panu derech Adonai. Using the Hebrew accentuation, note where the pause comes. A voice calling, In the wilderness clear ye the way of the Eternal. For your interest, at your own leisure, compare this accentuation with that employed in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 3, in the New Testament, where the same passage is quoted. Yes, the accent is important because revealing. Avraham ibn Ezra declared, No interpretation of a biblical verse which does not follow the accentuation should be accepted. That is the end of the quotation. Why are we at such pains to bestow upon the Scriptures such reverence and attention? Because we do not accept the variant and waning hypotheses of the so-called higher criticism, a plausible historico-critical system with pronounced materialistic, anti-supernatural, and evolutionary bias. But, on the contrary, we view the Scripture as a divine revelation, initiated by and from the Eternal God. We believe this attitude of rational and intelligent credulity will equip us to receive the full instruction, revelation, and benefit of the message of this superlative volume. But more, if its message and revelation be also personal in character, that is, a personal message from God to me, to you, it is doubly important, as well as personally fascinating, that we seek for and capture the divine accent in Scripture, and thus arm ourselves with the key supreme, the clue paramount, in interpreting its communication. If human cadence tonal pauses and accent are important and revealing, if they play a vital part both in the correct delivery of a message and in its correct reception and interpretation, if, I repeat, the accent is important in mere human phraseology, how infinitely more so is the divine accent. Is there a divine accent? I believe there is. And I believe I shall be able to discover it to you in my very next message from this radio station. You will find it a most gripping and fascinating disclosure. Why? My friends, discover the divine accent, and you also discover the divine intent. And that's worth knowing, isn't it? So keep listening. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha. Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.